We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
2 seconds, 1 second. They just get the snap off. Final play of the ball game, barring a penalty. Murray scrambling around, flips it forward to DeMercado. And DeMercado is going to go out of bounds, jarred out by Edmonds, and that's a Bears winner. 27-16, Chicago wins.
Excellent job. You know, again, I say this when you got a little bit of break, because you guys got a break, right? You got a victory Monday.
Monday, baby. Merry Christmas. Love y'all, boys. Here we go. Family, all three. 1, 2, 3.
Fam.
It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew, and that is Coach Flusie, Coach Eberflus, in the locker room basically telling the guys, load up on mulled wine and eggnog. You don't have to be here till Wednesday. So that's
nothing
nice.
Better than victory Monday,
oh,
Pat.
Oh, man. That's some of the three best words to hear. Is see you Wednesday. I mean, that means you won. You're on a roll. They don't need you in there on Monday for corrections and all that stuff. That's a good feeling.
Yeah.
You can do your work anyway, right? You go in Monday, you do your work.
But it's not that same. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're in, but it's not that. It just feels different, man. You know what I mean? It's like the stress level is down a little bit of having, you know, coaches meetings and all that kind of stuff with position meetings and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, is there mulled wine in a Hawaiian Christmas, Olin? Mele Kalikimaka, by the way. Okay.
Well, I'm sure there is somewhere. Somewhere.
I just wonder, is there a
where I grew up.
Is there a Christmas drink?
Yes, Heineken's.
Oh, there you go.
Perfect.
There you go. Yeah. Nothing like a little Dutch beer to celebrate.
Hey, it's green. It's green, right? I mean, it's green. You know. We're very
Patrick,
festive.
Are you an eggnog guy? What would your...
Not an eggnog guy. I don't discriminate my alcohol, though, except I guess if it was eggnog. So whatever's being served, I'll probably drink.
Well, we got to get a long snapper IPA in here, Pat.
Oh, of course.
Oh, there you go.
I'm sure I'll have one of those tonight. I'm sure I'll have one of those tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
What about you, Mully?
How about you, Mully?
I had to go to the booze store to pick up various bottles of booze. And my plan, we have Christmas tomorrow. I don't want to spoil it for anyone. I'm going to make some Moscow Mules. Just because I was at a wedding and they had Moscow Mules and I thought it was like a cool drink. I'd never had one. It's actually got a little kick to it. I don't mind a little vodka-based drink.
Sure. Sounds good.
On a holiday?
How do you make your Moscow Mule?
I guess, according to the recipe I saw, it's very simple. You get some vodka. So a couple ounces of vodka. That'd be a shot of vodka. Maybe like... a shot in a little bit of lime juice, and then you hit it with a ginger beer, and you throw some lime in it. So it's actually like you're supposed to drink it in these brass kind of glasses. So it's kind of a cold drink, but I always feel like vodka is like, you know, the Russians drank a lot of vodka, and they had some harsh winters. So I'm thinking that might even work. Although I don't believe a Moscow Mule is actually Russian. It's just got vodka in it. I don't know where it was made. I'm guessing it's American.
Probably.
Yeah. Guessing. But, you know, the Irish drink a lot of whiskey, and I am not much of a whiskey drinker. It's doesn't work out for me.
Puts me to sleep on the couch.
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't do it. But, I'm probably going to have a drink tonight, and I would imagine tomorrow for Christmas I'll have a drink tomorrow night. So that's good.
Well, we get to celebrate a Bears win.
If someone makes you, right? If you have to, you have to.
If I'm forced to feed booze to others, what am I going to do? Yeah. I've got to sample
I'm
giving.
Pat, I don't really overthink my alcoholic beverages. I walk in, whatever you have or whatever is there, I'm in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Open up the cooler or the fridge or whatever. All right, I'll have that.
If we're having Moscow Mules,
yes,
I'm in.
I'm having Moscow Mule, Mully. I'm coming over.
I'm sending them out. 27-16. So that's a, you know, I mean, all in all, that's a healthy win. You you get the goal of allowing 17 points or less in terms of your defense. And Justin Fields said this week 28 points. He got 27. That's pretty good.
Yeah, just I'm sorry, I get a little critical on this, and it's just the way I kind of went about my work as well. Like I would celebrate a win, but also be like, what can I do better? But it's a win that's by 11 points, but you thought it would be more comfortable. You thought it would be more convincing, and that's just what I was hoping for. And to see the ugly interception happen in the fourth quarter and have them, you know, get back within the game a little bit, that's what I didn't like to see. And they ended up winning, but to me it was the Cardinals losing this game more than the Bears really, you know, dominating this game like I was hoping to see.
Yeah, and Pat, like, really good points, but you would say that saying that about the Chicago Bears is improvement for them.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
That's the only point I'm making is, like, I totally agree. You know, watch the same game you guys watched, saw the same things you guys saw the team that you worried about, right? Oh, man, like, interception and then go down and score 7 right away on that defense. Like, come on, man. Not again, right? And why can't we just throw the ball all over the field on this secondary with all these undrafted rookies in the secondary, right? Why can't we do things like in the first quarter, I think he hit Cole Kmet over the middle on a second down. It was a really nice pass. You just thought that was going to be over and over again watching this game, right? That there's no way the Cardinals were going to have a chance to stop him, and it wouldn't take Gannon making really two really bad decisions to seal the game away. But it did, right? So, but thinking that the Chicago Bears should dominate someone, to me, from last year, from the beginning of this year, is improvement.
Yeah. Now, that's a great point because it's, you know, what we were preaching patience all the time, right? When they were the Arizona Cardinals. We're like, just wait. We're getting better. And now you are seeing improvement. And that's a realistic breakdown of who the Bears are. I guess I got to put some positive spin on this during the Christmas time or Christmas holiday. So, but that's a great point, too. You got to look at it that way as well, that where they've come from, which was the Cardinals last year, to where they are now, that's improvement. Let's just keep building on it. And, that's a good way to look at it. I got to be a little more positive today. It's Christmas Eve, damn it.
Let's get to Steven. Steven is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Steven.
Guys, happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Thank you, buddy.
Same to you, Steven.
Good. I think last week's game and this week's game, it's kind of like a microcosm of, Matt Eberflus's tenure, basically. I saw Justin Jones drop back into coverage on that Cardinals first touchdown again, which is preposterous once again. And the Luke Getsy has, again, I agree with everybody there. He has no feel for the game and still can't figure out the third and fourth down and one situation. I think to quote, Maya Angelou, when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. And, both guys, unfortunately, have shown plenty of times this year that they have the football acumen and the leadership skills to elevate the Bears. This is as far as we can go. And, I know Ryan Poles is probably thinking and probably finds himself in an arduous position. Last week and this week, the defense played exceptionally well. But the offense that he has put together, I think it leaves a lot to be desired. The receivers were basically non-existent after, DJ Moore got hurt, as did Cole Kmet. The offensive line struggled again. Nate Davis had 2 penalties. Lucas Patrick, got a penalty, although that was somewhat of a questionable one, I know, in the eyes of many people. But, this is probably his one and only shot at drafting a franchise quarterback. And, Eberflus and Getsy just unfortunately made things more complicated about, where is the quarterback situation.
Okay. Thank you, Steven. It's a complicated situation, guys.
Yeah, it very
the
much
quarterback.
Is.
Yeah, there's no way around it. And I think the problem is, and you mentioned it earlier, Pat, it's like everything is the play breaks down and he makes a great play. Mm-hmm. That if you're going to have success with Justin Fields, part of it is understanding it's never going to be like in time, on time. And it just isn't. It's sad but true.
I thought today's game, I was hoping – we could answer the question, did we win because of Justin Fields or with Justin Fields? And we still didn't get that answer. I thought this was a game he could come out there and dominate and really light it up, and you'd be like, man, that's the potential we should see or can see. But I just don't think we did. I feel like in my eyes, we won with Justin Fields, not because of. Yes, his legs were great and all that kind of stuff, but you also can't take away Khalil Herbert and the offensive line, how well they blocked in the run game, that if they just continue doing that, that's a win as well.
Yeah, and as you guys say, it's complicated because I go back to the fact that that's what the Cardinals were giving them, right? It was shocking to me that Gannon decided to play a light box and play zone behind, deep zone behind it, and that's what the Bears had, and they dominated the offensive line. Now, if they would have blitzed him all day and he had to make plays with his arm and receivers had to get open against press man coverage, then hopefully we could have saw what we wanted to see. But again, in the Justin Fields story, there's like two or three ways to tell it, right? There's two or three different ways to tell the story depending on what view you're taking on it, and we're trying to be as fair as possible.
Yep.
Looking at what actually was going on. And then, you know, that interception is just something you just keep coming back to, right? Why even throw that? Throw it out of bounds or throw it to DJ Moore on the post, rip it in there. We've seen him throw that ball too before. So it's an interesting thing to look at. That's why I think when you get callers, one caller says one thing and the other caller says another thing, and everyone seems to have a good point, because where are we with Justin Fields right now? They beat the 3-12 Arizona Cardinals. It didn't feel like when they beat the division leading Lions when they came here, and a lot of people called that a statement win for Coach Eberflus. This just felt like you beat a team that is in a total rebuild on defense. Mm-hmm.
Man, it's just difficult to know if there's ever going to be a time where, you know, Justin Fields was 15 for 27 for 170 yards passing. And I get it. They didn't even need to pass because they were running all over the place, and 250 rushing yards is usually going to win a game. But that's, I mean, 170 yards. Two of those throws were kind of miracle catches. I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, it's just, to me, that's these numbers you read here, 170 yards throwing, 97 yards rushing. That's what he's been. That's what we've seen throughout this entire career, right? And then you get the interception in the fourth quarter. We've seen that throughout his career. So this, to me, was just a normal Justin Fields game, and I was hoping to see more, and we didn't get it. But this is I think, who he is right now with Luke Getsy calling the plays.
Let's try Jim. Jim's in DeKalb. Hi, Jim. Oh, we lost Jim? What the hell? That's my fault.
Jim went to go drink some whiskey.
I don't blame him. He had a hot buttered rum waiting for him. What else was he going to do? What if that hot buttered rum got cold? I think Greg is at Hanover Park. We have Greg. Hey, Greg.
You have Greg. Thank you. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Bud.
Good.
All right. Hey, Mully, you have two of the brightest guys. I've always loved these guys at Chicago Bears. So please hear me when I say this. Okay, that Chris guy, he's the same guy with the mustache and the Chicago Bear T-shirt across the front. They're looking like a Detka. We can't identify a quarterback to save our lives here in Chicago. We finally get a guy that has the potential, if you get the right offensive coordinator, and just at this, with that draft pick, add a tight end or add a receiver and add an offensive lineman, and we have a chance to like really build this team from front to back. And we got the guy at quarterback, but Chris, because he knows so much that he's built teams before, I haven't, but apparently he has, that he wants to, people want to take shots at Fields. I'm telling you, Fields is the guy that we need to take the next step.
You know what I would love to do? I haven't been able to have a chance to do it. I'm sure it happens all over Chicagoland. Grab a bucket of beer, sit with Chris and Greg, and just hear them go at it. Hear them discuss the Justin Fields situation. I would love to hear that. I don't know. That just would be fun, because that's just this two polarizing. I mean, it's opposites right there. And we're looking at the same player. And that's amazing that you can get that. He's the answer, he's the answer, he's the answer to, he's not the answer, he's not the answer, he's not the answer. And I think that's what's difficult about this, about judging Justin Fields. But he hasn't done enough to me to prove one way, or I guess to the side that he is the true answer. I'm not sold yet.
But you have to mention the fact that when you say that, Pat, you're not sold, it's because we're looking like we might get the number one pick.
Yeah.
People keep forgetting that part of the conversation.
Point.
That's why we're having the conversation of is Justin Fields the guy over the two, you know, May and Williams at the top of the draft and scouting them. And all you're saying is, and all Chris is saying is, from what you've seen in the last 3 years now with two games left, is it'd be crazy not to consider those two guys at the top of the draft. Mm-hmm. You have to consider them. You have to do your due diligence. You have to study them. You have to figure out if they're the guy and Justin Fields is not the guy. Have you seen enough from Justin Fields? There's no way someone can look you in the face. And I know the argument. And say they've seen enough. He's the guy. Let's move forward with him. Ignore the quarterbacks in this draft.
Right. Yeah, that's the wild card. That's the thing that sits in the back of your mind.
Well, and that is going to be the determining factor. And, of course, as we all know, you do not make a decision until you have to. You right now, I mean, this is a fun topic of conversation, and it is kind of the omnipresent issue, whether, you know, what do you do going forward? The fact is there's still information that you're missing. You still have to know if and you know, when and all that stuff. You just don't know yet. So I think it's really hard to try to be patient and to look for something that you can build around because, frankly, I guess, as we said before, the Cincinnati Bengals are the last team 2 years running. They took Dan Wilkinson, who's a really good player, and then they took Kajana Carter in the second of those two drafts, and he got hurt, and his career was over fairly quickly. And I just think that when you don't take the quarterback, it's very difficult to pass on a guy 2 years running. And I understand why they did last year, but I don't know if you can do it again if indeed they have the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I don't think you can either, and I'm in the camp of draft one and keep Justin Fields for a year. I really believe nobody's ever done it. Nobody's tried it really
like
that way.
Idea. That's not a bad idea because the money won't hurt you. You got tons of money.
Yes. You have tons of money, and you're still going to get a lot of draft capital whoever you trade away later.
Does it worry you, Olin, when you hear the players taking Justin Fields' side and sort of, you know, does that mean that if you draft a quarterback and you bring him in here, that he won't be accepted as a leader because half the team in the locker room is, you know, mad for the current quarterback?
Oh, if I'm the general manager, no, not for 1 second does that worry me about the decision I have to make. I consider it, I consider it this way. That's what I want them to say. I want them to support their teammate. And if a guy doesn't say that, then I have a problem with that guy, right? If the guy's not supporting a guy in the locker room, that's not a guy I want in my locker room, Pat. You know what I mean? Like, I look at it differently than most people. Oh, well, they're going to treat the guy bad. No, they won't. If they're a good teammate, they're a good teammate, right? Whoever the guy comes in, straps the helmet on, puts the jersey on, a good teammate supports his teammate. So if they are saying the opposite, Mully, is when I worry about that guy. Right, I don't want them saying anything else. I don't want anybody in my locker room who's not supporting the 53 guys when the doors close that are in that locker room. So I don't worry about it for 1 second. I thought Dan Pompey had a good question. I wonder what you guys think about this. He wanted Justin Fields to be the best quarterback on the field today.
Right.
What did you guys think?
Well, Kyler Murray wasn't. I mean, I don't think he came close to really being the best quarterback on the field. If anything, I kind of call it a wash. I don't think either guy overwhelmed me.
Right. That's the way I feel. I mean, I was hoping to see, like when he said that, I was hoping to see Justin Fields completely outplay him. And I just feel like it was, you can have the argument, yes and no. And if you can have the argument, that means he didn't completely outplay him. So I don't think so. And to go back to having two quarterbacks on the roster, my opinion, if I'm in that locker room and you have two guys, and we had Rex and Kyle, right? And I was a little bit maybe better friends with Kyle Orton than I was with Rex. But to be honest with you, I didn't that personal relationship didn't come into my thought of should you play Kyle over Rex? Should you play Rex over Kyle? The best player should play, and that's the person you want out there because you just want to win. So if you have a relationship with somebody and like them more and don't like the other guy, that's a bunch of bull to me. You just want the best player to play, and hopefully the coaches are putting him out there.
All right, 312-644-6767 is the number. We'll be right back on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time.
Cardinals back to work at their 25. 1:04 to play in the third with Moore in motion. And Murray steps up. Pressure coming. Down he goes. Kyler Murray sacked by Kyler Gordon. What a game the second-year former Washington Husky has had for the Bears.
And I'm just shocked that they came out with a run, but Gordon's going to pressure, with a drop-back pass when they've been able to run the ball so well and effectively. But that's just a hustle play by Gordon. I mean, he refused to quit.
Yes, welcome back. It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. And that is the hit of the game. Kyler Gordon had a good game, and the hit of the game is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. He was all over the place, and he like stood up, made some hits, grabbed a guy by the leg one time, did a good job.
Yeah, it's good to see the young player step up like that. That's the growth we're talking about, right? We preach patience, and you want to see this team get better. And, you know, they're better from last year to this year, and that's a reason why. Young player getting better, and, you know, hopefully he can continue to take the next step and maybe get to a Pro Bowl level, something like that that becomes a dominant nickelback and defensive back for the Bears defense.
And even, those plays around the line of scrimmage, a sack and a run, but then he was covering more, I think, early in the first quarter, one-on-one on like a slot fade, and that's a tough cover. And he did a nice job covering, more there. So, just like you guys are saying, improving and good to see young players and good for them to mention the Washington Huskies.
Hey, apparently during his news conference, Justin Fields said that he wasn't overly concerned about the Cardinals' defensive line because he didn't think any of them were fast. And he said that he told his offensive linemen not to hold if the Cardinals got through because it was okay. He didn't believe they could catch him. And apparently Lucas Patrick never got the message because didn't he have a hold on one of Fields' long runs down the sideline? You don't have to do that. He's too fast. He's going to run past everyone.
What did you think of that one, Olin?
Well, a great coaching point. Great coaching point by Justin Fields not to grab those guys and let him just outrun them. And I actually think sometimes, Pat, coaches should drill that where you don't grab the guy when a quarterback leaves the pocket so you don't get that holding call. And I got to be honest, I didn't think that was a hold on Lucas Patrick there on a play-action pass on that nose guard. I thought he sold it to the ref. Now, there were two other holds at the end of the half that worried me a little more. There's a holding on our hands to the face on Braxton and then a holding on Nate Davis. Darnell Wright got beat inside and he tried to save him. But, those holdings worried me more. I didn't think Lucas Patrick one was a hold. But to me, that's good awareness by Justin Fields to realize who you're playing. And really, with Justin Fields, you shouldn't hold anything.
Mm-hmm.
That one play where I think he got the snap. It's like he turned around. There's a guy in his face. And he just, whoop, he kind of steps around him. And then another guy's coming at him, and he ran out and threw the ball away. I thought that was just a great play because they were on top of him, but they had no chance of getting him.
Oh, I mean, he's amazing. We saw it last week in Cleveland, right, with that touchdown throw to Cole Kmet in the corner where you thought he was dead to rights. That's the amazing stuff about him. And Olin, that's a great point about drilling that to the O lineman. When you have a quarterback like that, does practice change a little bit? Because plays do break down. Mully, you were talking about plays breaking down, and that's what you see with him. Are you practicing that? You know, we never had a quarterback like that. I never went through practice like that or saw you guys go through practice like that. But is that something that needs to be done? Do they do it with Lamar Jackson? Do they do it with Josh Allen? Are those things that are drilled during practice to understand the situation that what you have behind you is a lot different than a Peyton Manning, a Tom Brady, a Drew Brees that's just going to stand in the pocket?
And it would make sense to drill the situations that you get in trouble in, right? Drill them and just say, man, look, If this guy wants to chase Justin Fields, by all means, chase him. You know, or even you could argue the Cardinals should do the same thing, right, with Kyler Murray. Like, if they break the pocket, let them run after him.
All right, let's try. I believe we have Calvin. Calvin is in Chicago Heights. Hi, Calvin.
So, how you guys doing? Yes, I just have like a comment or a question. It seems like a lot of people are ready to move on from Justin Fields and draft this generational type quarterback. I believe one of them is supposed to be the next Patrick Mahomes. What if either one of them turns out to be Zach Wilson? What happens then? That's my. I'll hang up and listen.
Ryan Poles gets fired.
Yeah. Well, Calvin, everyone goes home.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but you know, I guess, you know, they talk about, you know, you hedge your bet. Yeah, mm-hmm. If you keep both of them, you're hedging your bet, right? You're hedging the bet on having two quarterbacks, and if one doesn't work out, you still have the other one.
Yep. And then do you believe how much better can he be than Justin Fields? What's Justin Fields' mm-hmm. ceiling? Have we seen it? That's the hard part about this talent evaluation and the job that Ryan Poles has. And like I said earlier, I just hope he makes the right decision. But the good thing is, guys, they've put themselves in position now to make a decision of these two quarterbacks. And there's so many different ways you can go about it. And I'm the one, bring both of them in, let them compete, let them fit in that building and see who the best right. one is. Instead of already making your decision, you know, right at the draft or whenever they're going to make their decision.
Can I go back to that for a second, Olin? Mm-hmm. You said mm-hmm. that would never be anything that you would worry about. I'm just curious. You know, you guys had like a really good, very popular heart and soul type guy in Thomas Jones, mm-hmm. and then Cedric Benson is drafted. And, you know, whether the tension of all that is helped or didn't help, you made it to the Super Bowl. And mm-hmm. and I always felt that if you had stayed with Thomas Jones more in that game, instead of trying to, it was almost like there was an agenda of getting Benson going because he was drafted. I felt you'd have had a better chance of winning that game.
Yeah, very, very interesting comparison, taking Cedric. And to Pat's point about Kyle Orton and Rex Grossman, just because you like Thomas Jones, and Cedric came in and felt like the locker room was against him. And, right. and you know, he rest in peace, Cedric Benson. He was a great
yes,
running back.
Absolutely.
And you know, I just think the mistake was made to clear out Thomas Jones and not let them just keep competing, right? Nobody in the locker room minded. No one in the locker room cared. You know, and it's just, you know, remember now, Cedric was a big part of our Super Bowl run, and Thomas racked up the yards. But if you looked at the numbers, Cedric had a lot of carries in those games, and he was wearing defenses out, because I'm going to tell you guys right now, I've never blocked for a guy that when he hit D lineman, you knew that D lineman got hit. Cedric Benson ran the ball hard and ran it downhill, and it was really the two of them together that made our run game. And remember now, Cedric got hurt in the Super Bowl, and that really hurt us.
Right.
Right. He got hurt on, I think, we were backed up, and Bob Sanders hit him, and he was out for the game. So losing him in that game really, really hurt us, because it was the two of them playing together that made us so good. So to your point, can two guys coexist? Can they be in the same locker room? Will the locker room care? Will they turn? I don't think so, man. When you play in the NFL, it's just about who has the same jersey on and who's playing good football.
Yeah, it's production, man. That's all I cared about. Yeah. That's all I cared about. Just help us win. And I think that's
and, you know, for me, it was hard because everyone liked me in the locker room, you know?
Everyone?
So well loved.
That's true. Yeah. You were just like Justin Fields, 50-50.
Especially Hunter. Hunter loved me.
I think Hunter Hillenmeyer wrote something on the Players Tribune.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
No, he actually said it right here on these airwaves.
Okay. How well loved you were.
Yeah, okay, but hold on. That's a good point, though, because there were some situations or arguments or feelings, but it never translated to the game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we had a strong mm-hmm. locker room. We had a good locker room, good leaders that could deal with that kind of stuff. And maybe the Bears are getting there. Maybe T.J. Edwards, Edmonds, D.J. Moore, those kind of guys right. that can deal with mm-hmm. personalities in a locker room. And that's mm-hmm. that's important to me, too, if I'm a GM, of building a team, of building guys that kind of mold that locker room and deal with that stuff internally. And then it doesn't spill over to Sundays, Mondays, or Saturdays when you're playing a game.
Yeah, there's a good point.
And on speaking of DJ Moore, if you get a chance to go on Twitter, you got to see the photo that that Mark Grody took of him. Apparently, DJ wanted to dress like Santa. He ordered a Santa suit. He ironed it last night, and he wore it to the game and in the postgame.
Oh,
I'm impressed. He ironed.
Enjoy the win. You know, you got to enjoy the win. Enjoy victory Monday. Right?
Olin, I got to ask you, because we were sitting around watching games yesterday with my family, and they showed some of these guys walking in the locker room in their outfits. And she just turns to me and she goes, "What would Olin have said if somebody walked in?" And I just laughed. And she's like, "I know what he would say, but like, really? Like, what's going on? Is this a thing?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's now a fashion show. And it is what it is, and whatever."
Social media, man, it's changing, right?
Yep.
Because now, you're all over the place, whether it be Instagram or Twitter, with the outfit you walk in with. It's just as important to these guys as, as their pads and their jersey, I guess. So, some of these outfits are interesting. You know, I think we've talked about with Kyler Gordon. I forget where they were. Walked in basically shirtless with like a mask on. So we've seen a lot of things this year, to be honest.
Well, no, there was an interview. This is what it was, too. We were watching that, and there was an interview I watched of Justin Fields. I forgot who it was with. I want to give her credit. Very good interview. But she asked him about his stylist. Do you hire a stylist? He's like, "Yeah, I got somebody from New York that picks all my outfits." I'm like, "Excuse me, what?"
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And that's when she asked. And I was like, "I don't know, man. It's a different game. It's different. That's fine. It is. It's just."
Pat and Mully, I remember. I think it was my eighth or ninth year. Someone said Lovey wanted to see me, and I said, "Okay." So I went up there, and I'll make this story short. I'll give you the short version. And I thought I was, I must have said something or did something that I usually do to somebody, and Lovey wasn't happy about it. And basically, what he told me was, he knows the amount of money they pay me, and he would like me to improve my suits. he said, "The only way Lovey can say it, we can do better than Men's Warehouse, big guy." Yeah, that's true.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. That's a good
one. Wow. Yeah. Not everyone is an off the shelf guy, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
In Hawaii, you didn't grow up wearing very, very many suits, right? So I wasn't very big on them.
Right. You should have worn like a white suit with a Panama hat type of look, you know?
I remember when I was at Washington, they told me I needed a sports coat, and I had to ask Whisper, "What is that?"
I always wear sports gear. Yeah,
exactly. Like a sweat jacket?
What are we talking about here? Where do I get one of these things?
That's beautiful. All right, 312-644-6767. You're listening to the Great Clips Postgame Show presented by Tullamore Dew.
We're back with more of the Great Clips Postgame Show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Second down and goal. Khalil Herbert, the running back. And Herbert to carry. Trying to get to the edge. He does. Does he have speed to get to the end zone? He does. It's a Bears touchdown. 11 yards for Khalil Herbert and a 13-0 Chicago lead.
It's the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. And it's time for Who's Hot and Who's Cold. And hot is the offensive line. 250 yards rushing on the game, and that was just one little moment in it. And the Bears running game won the game. The Bears offensive line won the game by opening those lanes, and obviously Justin Fields and Khalil Herbert seemed like Herbert back to his old self. So that's who's hot. As far as who's cold, well, it's the offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy. And, he really had he only been nominated earlier, he might be more cold than Velus Jones by this point. And
wondering how you were going to work Velus Jones in on this.
I had to mention him. The hot cold is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And a sincere and a hopeful and healthy holiday for everyone. And honestly, God bless us everyone, as Tiny Tim would say. Bah humbug to you, Valus Jones. Just to be in keeping with the Christmas Carol theme.
Yeah, so, all right. Go ahead. Take it, Olin.
Go ahead, Pat.
I was just going to talk about Valus Jones. I just think that poor young man struggles tracking the football.
Yes.
Just that deep ball. I mean, he threw him. That's a catchable deep ball. That when they zoomed in on him, he just looked like his eyes were lost, his body was lost. Like it just, you know, it's a swing and a miss. I think sometimes, you know, Olin, you and I played with a few of those guys who came in our locker room. Good guys. You're hoping for the best. It just didn't work out. I just right now I don't see it. And just to see that one play today where he's on the sideline, it was in my opinion, a catchable ball for an NFL wide receiver, and he looked like he really struggled tracking the ball.
Yeah, and they weren't all good guys, but you know they were swing and misses, some of them. But
Christmas spirit.
Listen, to the offensive line, you want to go back to Nate Davis, Lucas Patrick had a couple nice blocks today. Braxton Jones and Cody White here on a few double teams. Cody was played a really good game today, and you can talk about the Cardinals' D-line the same way you talk about their secondary. But they still play in the NFL, and you got to go out there and block them. But really want to talk again what we talked about going into the game, how Darnell Wright has been their anchor, a guy they've been looking for right on the offensive line. Even though guys come in and out, play at a high level, what you need, Pat, like you know at these positions, is consistency, right? A guy who's there every week, week in, week out, playing at a consistent level. Now, he's not an all-pro level as of yet, and he's got to work his way there. But to have that guy there every week, be kind of your linchpin of your offensive line, he's been important. I think having that guy and that, making them the hot group of the week, really important to mention what he has done as a rookie for these Chicago Bears.
Yeah, Nolan, I asked you to grade him and your thoughts about him potentially becoming elite and all that stuff. And on a rookie grading scale, he's got an A for everything you said there. Mm-hmm. Like, this is exactly what you want from your high draft pick to start his career. And I've been very impressed with him. He's just been super consistent. My favorite thing I liked about him, Olin, is he played through an injury. And he played decent with an injury. That is what that's what, to me, an NFL offensive lineman is. You don't miss plays. You're allowed to miss games if you're truly injured. And he's proven his worth.
Yeah, it's a great point, Pat. And there's an old saying in the locker room, right? Anybody can play this game healthy.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it. You're not healthy. I mean, even I would get banged up and have to play through things as a long snapper. Mm-hmm. That's the way it is. Yeah. But the O-line, that to me, it also spreads throughout your locker room as well. When you see guys banged up playing and playing at a high level and toughing it out and proving that, you know, hey, I can play injured. You know, I don't have to be, I call it 100%er. There's too many. I see a lot now. The NFL's changed. This the old school me. A lot of 100%ers. Guys need to be 100% to play, or else they won't play. And we've seen it this year that I still don't understand it. How guys can dress and be in there only for emergency. If you get a helmet and pads in your locker, and you're supposed to play, in my opinion. But so Darnell Wright, just to go back to him. I thought he's had a heck of a year for a rookie and has done very well.
Yeah, and in code is Luke Getsy, right, Mully, and we talked about him, and it's interesting because. They're up 21-0 with about 7 minutes left in the second quarter. And it'd be interesting to go through this film and see why the offense turned cold, right? What happened that slowed it down? I think on that last touchdown drive, they hit Cole Kmet on a boot throwback, right? And then they put the ball in the end zone. And from then on, Pat, it was two Cairo Santos field goals.
Yep. Yeah. Mm. That's a good point. It was just lean on the run, though. That's my thing. Just get through this game. Do what you're dominating at. Shorten the game, limit the possession so they don't have a chance to come back and make it a game. And there's just a lot of calls and situations, the first and 10 in the red zone. My opinion, I'm not calling that. I'm going to continue just pushing the ball down the field, eating the clock, taking the fourth quarter down to nothing. Little things at the second quarter, 27-second drive with 2 minutes and 27 seconds to go. You throw the ball three straight times from like the 26-yard line. I scratch my head at that one as well.
You know, I can't help but wonder as we, talk about all this stuff. There was a report in the pregame that that the general manager, and again, these interviews are taped well before the game is actually played. So I don't know what day of the week it was, but he did he did talk about the players have to finish and the coaches have to coach the details closer. Mm-hmm. Something along that line is what he said. And I find that very interesting because that's the general manager criticizing the coaching after they lost that game in Cleveland. So he's been very careful about how he talks about everyone. And last we heard from him, it was nothing but, you know, Matt Eberflus shows up like a grown man and all that stuff. I don't know if that indicates anything or if you read heavily into that. I noticed it was picked up in a lot of different places.
Well, he's got to be frustrated, right? After those three losses, those three late, you know, the Denver game, the first Lions game, and then this Cleveland game, and we go back to last year's Lions game. So, you know, set a standard and leave it there. We talk about that a lot. Set the standard and leave it. And he's right. At the end of the game, players got to make plays, and we got to make sure our details are right. That falls on the coaching staff, coaching the details in the game, and not only coaching them, but insisting guys are doing them, right? Making sure they understand exactly what you're asking them to do. And hopefully Ryan Poles, before he says those things, is actually going to meetings with the coach staff and the players and listening to what the details that are actually being coached and standing on the field and realizing the exact play he's talking about, right? And then realizing exactly what he's saying. And as far as if he's doing that, Pat, if he knows exactly what he's talking about and I am the one who made the mistake, I don't mind it. Yep. As long as he's right, 100% correct on what he's saying.
Yeah, it's just something for me real quick at the end. That meant a lot for me to hear that from him. I'm now going to look at the game a little bit differently and look at the small little details. For your GM to come out and say that meant a lot to me.
Yeah, that's a good sign. I don't know if it's a good sign for the coaching staff. But, hey, we want to give a shout-out to the fine folks at Aurelio's Pizza for delivering great food for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app and start earning rewards. Visit AureliosPizza.com to order from the location nearest you. Aurelio's Pizza, it's the sauce. I'm actually taking tomorrow off, which is cool. And I'm taking Tuesday off. So I'll be in Wednesday and Thursday, I believe, this week. I've got family coming in on Monday. Guys, I wish you the happiest of Christmases. Patrick, congratulations on your daughter's 18th birthday. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. I hope she really had fun at the game. That is a great age, as we all vaguely recall. And we wish everyone who listens a very happy Christmas and a great new year and all that stuff.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas, guys.
God bless all. God bless us, everyone. It's the pregame show. It is, of course, the postgame show, the Great Clips postgame show. I'm still doing the pregame show. It's been a long day. Presented by Tullamore Dew. So maybe that is the answer to my evening. See you, fellas.
Silent night,
holy night, always calm, always bright.
Oh, great clips. It's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Second down and goal. Khalil Herbert, the running back. And Herbert to carry, trying to get to the edge. He does. Does he have speed to get to the end zone? He does. It's a Bears touchdown. 11 yards for Khalil Herbert and a 13-0 Chicago lead.
It's the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. And it's time for Who's Hot and Who's Cold. And hot is the offensive line. 250 yards rushing on the game. And that was just one little moment in it. And the Bears running game won the game. The Bears offensive line won the game by opening those lanes. And obviously Justin Fields and Khalil Herbert seemed like Herbert back to his old self. So that's who's hot. As far as who's cold, Well, it's sadly, it's the offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy. And, you know, he really had he only been nominated earlier, he might be more cold than Velus Jones by this point. And
I was wondering how you were going to work Velus Jones in on this.
I had to mention him. The hot cold is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And a sincere and a hopeful and healthy holiday for everyone. And honestly, God bless us everyone, as Tiny Tim would say. Bah humbug to you, Velus Jones. Just to be in keeping with the Christmas Carol theme.
Yeah, so, all right. Go ahead. Take it, Olin.
Go ahead, Pat.
I was just going to talk about Velus Jones. I just think that poor young man struggles tracking the football.
Yes.
Just that deep ball. I mean, he threw him. That's a catchable deep ball. That when they zoomed in on him, he just looked like his eyes were lost, his body was lost. Like, it just, you know, it's a swing and a miss. I think sometimes, you know, Olin, you and I played with a few of those guys who came in our locker room. Good guys. You're hoping for the best. It just didn't work out. I just, right now, I don't see it. And just to see that one play today where he's on the sideline, it was, in my opinion, a catchable ball for an NFL wide receiver, and he looked like he really struggled tracking the ball.
Yeah, and they weren't all good guys, but, you know, they were swinging misses, some of them. But
Christmas spirit.
Listen, to the offensive line, you want to go back to, you know, Nate Davis. Lucas Patrick had a couple nice blocks today. Braxton Jones and Cody White here on a few double teams. Cody was played a really good game today. And you can talk about the Cardinals D-line the same way you talk about their secondary. But they still play in the NFL, and you got to go out there and block them. But really want to talk again what we talked about going into the game, how Darnell Wright has been their anchor, a guy they've been looking for right on the offensive line. Even though guys come in and out, play at a high level, what you need, Pat, like you know at these positions, is consistency, right? A guy who's there every week, week in, week out, playing at a consistent level. Now, he's not an all-pro level as of yet, and he's got to work his way there. But to have that guy there every week, be kind of your linchpin of your offensive line, he's been important. I think having that guy and that, you know, making them the hot group of the week, really important to mention what he has done as a rookie for these Chicago Bears.
Yeah, Nolan, I asked you to grade him and your thoughts about him potentially becoming elite and all that stuff. And on a rookie grading scale, he's got an A for everything you said there. Like, this is exactly what you want from your high draft pick to start his career. And I've been very impressed with him. He's just been super consistent. My favorite thing I liked about him, Olin, is he played through an injury. And he played decent with an injury. That is what that's what, to me, an NFL offensive lineman is. You don't miss plays. You're allowed to miss games if you're truly injured. And he's proven his worth.
Yeah, it's a great point, Pat. And there's an old saying in the locker room, right? Anybody can play this game healthy.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it. You're not healthy. I mean, even I would get banged up and have to play through things as a long snapper. Mm-hmm. That's the way it is. Yeah. But the O-line, that to me, it also spreads throughout your locker room as well. When you see guys banged up playing and playing at a high level and toughing it out and proving that, you know, hey, I can play injured. You know, I don't have to be, I call it 100%er. There's too many. I see a lot now, the NFL's changed. This the old school me, a lot of 100%ers. Guys need to be 100% to play or else they won't play. And we've seen it this year that I still don't understand it, how guys can dress and be in there only for emergency. If you get a helmet and pads in your locker and you're supposed to play, in my opinion. But so Darnell Wright, just go back to him. I thought he's had a heck of a year for a rookie and has done very well.
Yeah, and in cold is Luke Getsy, right, Mully? And we talked about him. And it's interesting because they're up 21-0 with about 7 minutes left in the second quarter. And it'd be interesting to go through this film and see why the offense turned cold, right? What happened that slowed it down? I think on that last touchdown drive, they hit Cole Kmet on a boot throwback, right? And then they put the ball in the end zone. And from then on, Pat, it was two Cairo Santos field goals.
Yep. Yeah. Mm. That's a good point. To me, it was just lean on the run, though. That's my thing. Just get through this game. Do what you're dominating at. Shorten the game. Limit the possession so they don't have a chance to come back and make it a game. And there's just a lot of calls and situations. The first and 10 in the red zone. My opinion, I'm not calling that. I'm going to continue just pushing the ball down the field, eating the clock, taking the fourth quarter down to nothing. Little things at the second quarter, 27-second drive with 2 minutes and 27 seconds to go. You throw the ball three straight times from, like, the 26-yard line. I scratch my head at that one as well.
You know, I can't help but wonder as we, you know, talk about all this stuff. There was a report in the pregame that the general manager, and again, these interviews are taped well before the game is actually played, so I don't know what day of the week it was, but he did talk about the players have to finish and the coaches have to coach the details closer.
Mm-hmm.
Something along that line is what he said. And I find that very interesting because that's the general manager criticizing the coaching after they lost that game in Cleveland. So he's been very careful about how he talks about everyone. And last we heard from him, it was nothing but, you know, Matt Eberflus shows up like a grown man and all that stuff. I don't know if that indicates anything or if you read heavily into that. I noticed it was picked up in a lot of different places.
Well, he's got to be frustrated, right? After those
yes.
three losses, those three late, you know, the Denver game, the first Lions game, and then this Cleveland game, and we go back to last year's Lions game. So, you know, set a standard and leave it there. We talk about that a lot. Set the standard and leave it. And he's right. At the end of the game, players got to make plays, and we got to make sure our details are right. That falls on the coaching staff, coaching the details in the game, and not only coaching them, but insisting guys are doing them, right? Making sure they understand exactly what you're asking them to do. And hopefully Ryan Poles, before he says those things, is actually going into meetings with the coach staff and the players and listening to what the details that are actually being coached and standing on the field and realizing the exact play he's talking about, right? And then realizing exactly what he's saying. And as far as if he's doing that, Pat, if he knows exactly what he's talking about and I am the one who made the mistake, I don't mind it.
Yep.
As long as he's right, 100% correct on what he's saying.
Yeah, it's just something for me real quick at the end. That meant a lot for me to hear that from him. I'm now going to look at the game a little bit differently and look at the small little details. For your GM to come out and say that meant a lot to me.
Yeah, that's a good sign. I don't know if it's a good sign for the coach instead. But, hey, we want to give a shout-out to the fine folks at Aurelio's Pizza for delivering great food for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app and start earning rewards. Visit AureliosPizza.com to order from the location nearest you. Aurelio's Pizza, it's the sauce. I'm actually taking tomorrow off, which is cool. And I'm taking Tuesday off. So I'll be in Wednesday and Thursday, I believe, this week. I've got family coming in on Monday. Guys, I wish you the happiest of Christmases. Patrick, congratulations on your daughter's 18th birthday. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. I hope she really had fun at the game. That is a great age, as we all vaguely recall. And we wish everyone who listens a very happy Christmas and a great new year and all that stuff.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas, guys.
God bless all. God bless us, everyone. It's the pregame show. It is, of course, the postgame show, the Great Clips postgame show. I'm still doing the pregame show. It's been a long day. Presented by Tullamore Dew. So maybe that is the answer to my evening. See you, fellas.
Silent night,
holy night, always calm, always bright.